For as many as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. All members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Different offices, but we're all for each other. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. This text covers seven ministry gifts. Seven ministry gifts given to those that are members of the body of Christ, to those that are saved. If you are saved, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been born again of God's Spirit into His family. God's blessed Holy Spirit has come and taken residence inside of your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, in Ephesians 4 and verse 8, says He brought gifts to men. And the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, according to 1 Corinthians 12:11. He gives us certain gifts. Now, there's different types of gifts. Some gifts are just presents that somebody has given to us, say, for Christmas. We get a gift. It's just a present that's given to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't work for it. The gift of God is eternal life, for instance. That's a gift. But there's other kind of gifts in the Scriptures, not presents, but abilities or talents. You may say of somebody, he is a gifted athlete. They just have a natural gift for being athletic. Well, it's the same thing with spiritual gifts. We're talking today about abilities. We're talking today about talents that God has given to people, maybe naturally, or maybe they have to work at it. There are some people who are natural piano players. There are others that have become very good but have to work at it. And we can say both are gifted as they use that musical instrument for the glory of the Lord. And I want to talk about the seven ministry gifts this morning, the seven ministry gifts. You might want to jot these down because one of them is yours. Maybe two of them. Sometimes I've met people who have three, almost by nature, almost like they were just born that way or grew up in an atmosphere that nurtured their ability to have at least three of these gifts. Sometimes God will take these natural gifts and put His stamp of approval on them and use them as spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Sometimes you don't have a gift whatsoever, but God gives it to you. It kind of shocks you. I know in my case, I got a C- in speech class in high school. Well, not the most likely candidate to be a preacher. I think I got a C- because she was being kind to me to move me along. I used to hate doing oral reports in high school. Worst day of my life. I had to do an oral report. I did one on vitamin C one time. I didn't like it at all. Almost got sick doing it. Talking on vitamin C. And so it wasn't my nature to be a preacher, but it was a gift God gave me that I had to work on and use and qualify. But other times there's people that have a natural gift and God the Holy Spirit puts His stamp of approval and uses it. Now I want to give you seven of these in the text that are ministry gifts. And there's no such thing as a believer in Christ, man or woman, boy or girl, senior citizen, who doesn't have at least one gift. And you're supposed to have that discovery. I want to encourage you today to discover that as early in your life as you possibly can. And then use it for the rest of your life in the church, attached to the church, to be a blessing to others. And as I go through these here, I hope that maybe as I hit one or another one, all of a sudden the light bulb's going to come on in some of your minds and say, hey, I think that's me. And it just might be. I've been praying that I could try to open up some understanding today to you, what your gifts might be. Number one is the preacher. Number one is the preacher or preachers in verse number 6. Having then gifts differing, notice this, according to the grace As I go through this, we're all going to start making excuses. That's human. But it's according to the grace that is given to us that we can exercise these ministry gifts. So there's no excuse. Moses tried the excuse route, didn't he? He gave four doozies when the Lord called him to lead Israel out of Egypt. And God didn't accept any of his excuses. The Lord just kept saying, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. It's according to his grace. So as you are called by God with some particular gift to use and you say, I can't do that, that was my first response. I said this often, I thought God, you know, made his first mistake when he called me. But it's not my abilities, but his ability. His grace given to me, accompanied with what ability I have that can be developed to become a ministry gift. And the first is the preacher. It says in verse number 6, according to God's grace, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. This word prophesy, don't confuse with prophecy. Prophecy here, don't confuse with prophesy. We are not talking here about foretelling the future. This is the foretelling of the Word of God. The preacher, he foretells the Word of God. He tells what's in this book to other people. It may be in a church setting, it may be in a prison, maybe in a nursing home, it may be on the street, it may be to a camp of teenagers or a camp of children, but the Lord needs preachers in the body of Christ. He needs those that can foretell the Word of God. There's a difference between foretelling and foretelling. The old prophets used to be able to foretell the future as the Lord showed them visions and revelations and dreams of what was going to happen. That's not today. We have a completed revelation in the Bible. We just simply now foretell what God has already said in his word. I'm not going to stand up here and say, now Christ is coming on October the 11th, 2012. I'm not going to say that because I don't know how to foretell the future. But I can foretell the Word of God and say, folks, there's a lot of signs in the Bible that Christ may come soon. And we need to prepare to meet him. Now, those of you that are preachers, you have the gift of preaching, you're going to be able to speak and foretell the Word of God to an assembly type of a setting, whether it's a few people in a nursing home or a prison or a church or a camp. Those of you that have the gift of preaching need to do it here in verse 6 according to the proportion of faith. According to the proportion of faith. You don't have to try to be like some other preacher. I've seen a lot of preachers and pastors destroy themselves, young ones especially, because they tried to be like some great man of God who's in his 60s or 70s or 80s who has this mountain-moving faith. But they're just a beginner in the ministry with a little bit of faith. You preach according to the proportion of faith that you have. Keep your place here and turn over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, it says this, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's serious business. If you're going to speak, speak as the oracles of God. Speak as though God himself were using your voice. Don't sit up there and get up there and give your own opinions or this is what I think. And if you do, make sure you say it. Well, this is my opinion. But we're preaching the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Stay close to the text when you're preaching. Don't go off on all kinds of rabbit trails. Stay close to the text. If any man speak as the oracles of God, if any man minister on... Now notice these words here. Let him do as of the ability which God giveth. All right? Preaching is truth through personality. Every preacher has a different personality. I'm not going to get up here and start singing in the middle of my sermon because Lester Roloff used to. That was his personality, and boy, God used it profoundly. I'm not going to start telling poems like Willard Thomas does. But I have to preach according to my ability. You have to preach according to your ability, according to the proportion of faith God has given you at this moment until your faith grows. So then you can preach about different realms as your faith grows and you enter into those realms. Number two is the server. The server. The church needs to be loaded with people who have the ministry gift of serving. In verse number 6, it says this, or verse 7, our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. This word ministering here refers to serving. The word ministering literally means this, if you want to write it down under number 2, those who execute the commands or wishes of others. Those who execute the commands or wishes of others. If I stood up here today and I said, I know a widow whose rain gutters are filled with leaves and we need to get someone over to her house and clean out the gutters, and this person has this feeling inside of them, they immediately shoot up their hand and say, I'll do it. That's probably somebody who has the gift of ministry. We need somebody to rake her leaves. We need somebody to fix her roof. Her roof's leaking like a sieve. Is there anybody that can do that? And the person who has the Holy Spirit gift of ministering shoots their hand up and says, I'll do it. We need to have a banquet coming up for Roundup Sunday, for Anniversary Sunday, for Mother's Day, for Father's Day. The servant shoots their hand up and says, I'll do that. I'll do that. We need somebody to paint the walls around here. We need somebody to wash windows in the building or wash windows on the bus. The servant's first reaction is, I can do that. If that will free you up to do some other things, let me take that off of your hand. I'll do that. The church needs to be loaded with people who have the Holy Ghost gift of serving. It needs to be loaded with people like that. We need someone to straighten up the hymn books and pick up the bulletins after the service is over. Or somebody to clean up after the picnic or whatever. These are people who have the gift of being a servant. Could you take out the garbage? No problem. No problem. We need to wait on our ministering, it says here. That means pay attention. Pay attention to that minister. It says Elijah was Elijah's ministry, poured water on his hands. When the older prophet Elijah would go to eat, Elijah would come running up with a bucket of water and says, here, let me pour this water on your hands. He washed his hands so that he could eat. He was a minister. Those who execute the commands or wishes of other people. We need to get the stones out of the sports field over here. I don't know if you've seen it. We got it tilled up. Boy, it looks beautiful. This thing's going to be nice when we're done. We need to get the stones out of it. Boy, the minister says, I'll do that. I can do that. No, you go ahead and do something else. I'll take care of that. The church needs to be loaded with men and women who have the gift of ministry. Servants. Number three, the teacher. Verse 7. The teacher. There's the preacher, there's the server, there's the teacher. In verse number 7, he that teacheth on teaching. Teaching is to give a discourse or an illustration that instructs others. Teaching is to give a discourse or an illustration that instructs others. A discourse or an illustration. Somebody could teach on golf. You could do it in a classroom setting. You could say, okay, here's your golf bag, here's your clubs. You got 3 woods, you got your 1, your 3, and your 5 wood. And these are for different ranges depending on how long you want to hit the ball. There's different angles on the front of the woods that determine if your ball is going to go higher or farther straight out. And here's your 8 irons. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then you got your pitching wedge, your 9th iron, or your sand wedge, your 10. You got 10 different irons. Each one of them is at a different angle. And again, if you use one that has a short angle and you hit the ball, it's going to go out straight and farther. If you don't have that long of a shot and you use one with a deep angle and you get under the ball, it's going to go up and it's just going to go a short distance. And then you got your putters over here. And so he can give a classroom instruction about golf. Then he can say, now come here, let me show you how this works. And he goes from a discourse to an illustration. He says, now you need to keep your feet spread apart and your hands so on and so forth and blah, blah, blah. And he illustrates. And then he helps the other person. He says, no, you need to do this. And then that person catches on and becomes the next good golfer. That's teaching, a discourse and an illustration. A person who has the gift to give somebody a discourse and an illustration that instructs them in something. Now, in spiritual things, we need people that can teach others how to be soul winners. You can do that in a classroom. You can do that in a classroom. But then you need to say, now let's go out and you can watch as I talk to this person about the Lord. It's pretty exciting. We had a man get saved last Saturday. It was really exciting on his doorstep after what seemed to be several weeks of futility. Then you cross paths with somebody who's ready to accept Christ as their Savior. They had a couple people saved down at the Grape Festival in Silver Creek. Why? Because somewhere in their life, they had learned in a classroom how to win souls, and then somebody went out and illustrated how to do it. This is the gift of teaching in the Bible. We need people who maybe don't speak to the big assemblies, but can take smaller groups and teach them, maybe Sunday school classes. I couldn't last very long downstairs with little 2 or 3 year olds. Or 4 or 5 year olds. Why? I go insane. That's why. But there's some people who are gifted to do that. We need people to answer that call, to exercise that gift, to develop that gift and teach children. You may teach teenagers. You may teach adults. You may teach senior citizens. Maybe that's who you can really communicate to. Troubled girls over at the Hopevale School. We need people gifted. The Lord needs all kinds of teachers, men and women, on all kinds of subjects. We need those that can teach a discourse on prayer and then take people and illustrate, now here's how you pray. And then have that person see how prayer is answered. The church needs teachers, those that are gifted to teach. And then we need counselors, number 4. In verse number 8, it says, "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation." Now the counselor is similar to the preacher. He's similar to the teacher. He is very knowledgeable in the Word of God. His gift, though, is to exhort, which is a one-on-one admonition, a very strong admonition to somebody on a one-on-one basis. We call these people counselors. I'm not the world's greatest counselor. I like to look at people and say, weren't you listening? I just preached on that 2 months ago. You know, when they come to me for some one-on-one. No, I don't always do that. But there are people whose expertise is to work on people one-on-one and help them with the knowledge of the Scriptures. We have this a man and a lady over in the chapel that just finished that 16-week Foundations of the Faith notebook. Remember that? Most of us have forgotten that. They went through it. And we had an individual go over there and patiently teach them that. It took almost 6 months for them to go to the house, patiently teach them every one of those subjects, and they got them all. And man, have they grown in the Lord in 6 months. Wow. That's how the church is built. A lot of it's one-on-one stuff behind the scenes. Somebody, for instance, who can work with RU, Reformers Unanimous, those who are functionally addicted. They're functional, they have jobs and everything, but they got addictions. Somebody can get down to the nitty-gritty and help people like that. Somebody that can help someone with a marriage. Somebody that can help a single person or a single mother or something. Knows exactly what to say to them. The church needs people gifted like that. And the Holy Ghost gifts certain people to be counselors. To give exhortations to people. Now this counselor, maybe he can't preach worth beans. He'd fall over and faint maybe in the pulpit. But he's excellent one-on-one. Or she's excellent one-on-one with people. We need people like that in the church. Talking about how the church works here today. We got to have people exercising all these gifts. And then number 5 is the giver. The giver. It says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." The giver in verse number 8. "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." There are some that have the gift of giving. Now everybody should be good stewards of the resources God has given them and present to the Lord tithes and offerings and alms to the poor. Everybody should do that. Once in a while, there's somebody who excels in the church at philanthropy. Turn to Luke chapter 7. I want to show you a man like that. Keep your place here again. Luke chapter number 7, if you will. I want to show you a fellow that excels in this area of giving. It says in Luke 7 and verse 5, "For he loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue." Wow. "He loveth our nation and hath built us a synagogue." What's that like saying today? He built us a what? A church. Nice guy. He must have been a man of means. But not only was he a man of means, he was a man who had the gift of giving. He didn't just harbor that for himself. He wanted his resources to bless the next generation after he was dead. And so he built a synagogue. And that synagogue outlasted him. In fact, you can go over and still see the ruins of that synagogue to this day. We walk through them when we're in Israel. This man was thinking about others. He said, these people need a place to worship. These people need a place to praise God. These people need a place to hear the word of God. And so he built them one because he had the means. He had the means. We had a fellow one time come up to me and said, "Pastor, I want to sell the church a house." I said, "Well, that's really nice of you. We don't have any money, though." He says, "Well, I was thinking if I sold the church a house, you could use it maybe to house missionaries and evangelists and traveling preachers or anybody else and so on and so forth." I said, "That's a great idea." He says, "Yeah, I'm getting married. My wife doesn't want to live in this house, but I'd like to sell it to you. And the church can use it." And I said, that's really nice of you. Love to do it if we had some money." He said, "How about $1? How about $1? I reached in my wallet. It was a dollar. Didn't even pray about that decision. We renovated that house back in 1996. And for the last almost 15 years, we have never charged anyone a penny to stay in that house. And that house is used sometimes from 150 to 200 days a year, traveling preachers, evangelists, missionaries who don't have to pay hotel expenses, don't have to pay motel expenses or anything. They stay in there for free. And some of you, with your gift of ministering that we talked about earlier, keep it up on the outside and inside. It's a beautiful little house. Same guy gave me a car one time. Brand new car he bought 6 months earlier, brand new. He said, "Pastor, you're driving junk." He says, "You need a better car." I said, I know that. I need a better car. I don't have the means right now." He says, "How about you just take this one?" He handed me the title. We had a lady give us $25,000 when we added that addition over there. I said, "Dear lady, you don't have to do that. You're going to need this someday." She says, "No, God wants me to do it." We paid that off in cash before we finished that addition. We had someone else give us $30,000 for this one over here. We paid it off before we finished it. We got the parking lot finished off, paid off before we finished it. That thing, you can drive a tank on it, it's not going anywhere. I said to those that worked on it, I said, "That thing is going to be there when we're dead, and people will still be parking on it, walking into church and hearing the word of God." See, I want to live a life that outlasts me. I want to leave something behind that keeps blessing people. And there are those, maybe Saturday when we go over, look at the building. We have $32,000 just about right now in the bank, in the chapel. That's pretty good for not even being 2 years old. A piece of property over there, a big piece of property, $80,000. Little building, we'd have to build a bigger one someday. Bigger than what we got now, though, the rec hall. Had 47 people there this morning at the chapel. People are hungry. We need to put something in that town that'll be there when we're dead. But keep reaching souls and be a lighthouse for Jesus Christ. I don't know if this is the place, but it sits right dead center, halfway between Derby and Angola. And maybe I won't have to start a chapel in each town. Maybe this is God's way of killing two birds with one stone. I don't know. Right on Route 5. But it wouldn't surprise me if God touches somebody's heart about that matter, the gift of giving. Then there's the organizer. Number six, the organizer, the administrator. He's called the ruler here. He's called the ruler back in our text, Romans 6, 12. Romans 12 and verse number 8. He's called the ruler. He that ruleth with diligence. Now, this is not talking about some dictator or dominator who tells you, you're going to do what I say or else. No, it's not the word at all. There's no place for that in the New Testament. God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and find out what that means. And you'll know what I'm saying. We do not have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. 2 Corinthians 1:24. That's all I'm trying to do is help your joy. I want you to have more joy. And I know the source of joy is God. And if I can get you all closer to God, you'll have more joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But this means the administrator, the organizer. You see, the church is not only a ministry, it's a business. It's a business. Sometimes it can be a big business that takes a lot of organization, a lot of administration. We just sent out 85 checks this week to missionaries around the world. I don't have the time to do that. I don't even like writing out my checks at home for my bills. There's a lot of stuff in the financial and organization, administration of all these different ministries we have going on, and we're not that big of a church. We're a country church. But there are people that God has given sharp minds to and organizational skills and can use those humbly to organize people to work more effectually. And those are to be the rulers of the church. They are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 10 says this, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. Man, if God has put you in a position of administrating or organizing a ministry, I don't care if it's a Sunday school class, be a good steward of that class. Don't just maintain it, build it, keep it healthy. Paul had to tell Timothy once in 1 Timothy 1, 6, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in thee. Why? Because human beings, it's the natural tendency of fires to burn out. You got to keep stoking them. You got to keep putting wood on them. You give somebody a Sunday school class, they're on fire at first. But let's see them 5 years later. We still need them being good stewards of the manifold. And they got to keep building a fire up inside them, or they quit. It's easy to serve the Lord when you're on fire about something. Do you think I've wanted to do this for 27 straight years? You got to be kidding. You don't think there's times where I felt like saying, I don't feel like doing this anymore. But the gifts that we're talking about today and the callings of God are without repentance. God says, I don't care, Art. This is your gift. This is your calling. You do it till you die. And so I got to stir up the gift of God that's in me sometimes. Organizers, administrators. These are the superintendents over God's work. They preside over their protectors, their guardians, God's work. And then last of all is the comforter. This is the one who shows mercy. The comforter, he that showeth mercy. Cheerfulness. I can show mercy to somebody. Mercy is not giving someone what they deserve, in case you were wondering. I can show mercy towards people, but I have a hard time doing it like this. But those that have the gift of mercy need to do it with cheerfulness. You know who these are? These are the comforters. These are the caregivers of the church. These are the medics who go after the people in the church who have been injured. And they are casualties on the spiritual battlefield of life. They've been offended. They've been injured. They've been hurt. Their wife left them. They're wrecked. They're destroyed. And somebody who has the gift of mercy in the church has the gift to see that person hurting. Sometimes for me, somebody says, Pastor, I haven't seen so-and-so in 4 weeks. And I'll say, you're kidding. You know what? That person has the gift of mercy. They see that, and they go after the person. They're the spiritual medics in God's army. And they pick up the wound and say, hey, how you doing, brother? I haven't seen you in fellowship in a while. Is everything okay? How about coming over for dinner? How about I take you out to a restaurant? Let's pray right now about that thing. And they try to get them better and back into the house of the Lord. All of this is what it takes for a church. Men, get the sheets there, if you would. Ushers, and break up into about four and just start passing them out. Some of you have seen these sheets before. Do it again. And while they're passing them out, turn to Romans 1 and verse 11. I'll explain the sheets, then we'll go home. Romans 1 and verse 11 says this, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Paul said, I just can't wait to see you. I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. That's my desire today, Pastor Cole. I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. I don't want any of you to get to the end of your life and say, God had a what for me? God had a gift for me? I want you to take these seven things that I've said, and somewhere along the line today, if you're alive and your blood's still flowing, your heart's still beating, one of these had to touch something in you. Had to touch something in you. In closing, turn over to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7. I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. I wish somebody had told me this a lot earlier in my life. A lot earlier. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we still waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? He hasn't come yet. If he has, we're all in trouble. We don't know it. But he says, until then, he says, so that you come behind in no gift. I don't want you to come behind in any gift. You know what God's will is for us? This will blow your minds in closing, but he wants us to all have all seven. Even the ones you don't have naturally, he wants us to work on. You want to know what Christ is like? When Christ walked the earth, he had all seven. He had all seven. We're supposed to be like him. But for now, find out one. Find out two. Take that work list home, worksheet, and if you turn it upside down, you'll see all the words that I just gave you. This isn't the first time I've preached on this subject. But if you'll go through those seven blocks and check off every box that accurately describes you. If it does not describe you, leave it blank. And you'll find by the time you're done with this worksheet that there's some there where you've checked off almost every box. There's others like mercy where I don't check off any. I got to work on that one. But some of you will check off every one of those, and we need you in the care ministry. And I'm going to give you a follow-up sheet next Sunday that spells out a bunch of the ministries in our church and how to use your gift and attach it to a particular ministry. Because I don't want you to come behind a no gift. I don't want you to get to the end of your life and say, Pastor, never told me there was something special about my salvation that God had a gift for me beyond salvation that he wanted me to use to help the body of Christ. Let's all bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray you'd bless our song and our conclusion, and just pray that your Holy Spirit would work. Father, I believe that this is not wasted time reminding people that there is a purpose for why thou hast left us behind. We need to evangelize the lost outside of the church, every one of us, but we also need to minister to each other inside of the church. And somebody who just cleans the carpets or the bathrooms or works in the nursery or oversees the banquets will help others with their other gifts to be free to do them. Lord, I see people in this room who've already discovered their gifts, others who maybe never knew they existed. But I want to pray today be a great day of illumination by thy Holy Ghost to help us all to realize we're supposed to be ministering to others in some way. Show us, Lord, we pray. Help us not to get lazy this week about this worksheet, but to approach it as one of the most important pieces of paper that have ever been put in our hands. So we will not come behind in any gift. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.